This is Justin from Semi-Precious Weapons.
Tyler from Neon Trees.
This is Tim Nordwin from the band OK Go.
And you're listening to High Voltage.
And you're listening to High Voltage.
You are listening to High Voltage.
Today is Saturday, July 23rd, and this is the High Voltage Radio Hour coming to you live from San Diego Comic-Con. This is Chelsea.
This is Kristen.
And this is Trina.
And we'll be your hosts for today. So if you tuned in to the last episode, we recapped Wednesday, which is preview night, and Thursday, the first day one, if you will, of Comic-Con. And we are here today to recap Friday and Saturday, which is a very large undertaking because a lot of things have happened. But let's just dive right into it. So Friday, we kicked off the day with a special breakfast because, you know, you got to start your day right. And we went to a preview breakfast for the Disney Bundle activation and Abbott Elementary activation. This was a ton of fun, right, guys?
So much fun. Basically, well, for elementary, we all got our teaching credentials, so we can now all teach everyone in America stuff we don't even know how to do, like math.
Because apparently, all you need to teach people is take a school photo.
Pretty much.
But yeah, so the Abbott Elementary activation was a full walkthrough of the elementary school. It starts off and you're outside the school and there's the school bus. You can take a photo with the school bus and you go in and you see lockers and I guess it was the principal's office.
Principal's office. There's a handyman's closet, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then there's a giant classroom and a gymnasium. And there's things to do in all of these rooms. There's different photo ops. There was a step dance troupe, which is always a good time. And then they had really epic swag.
Not bad. Actually, you had to play these little carnival-esque games to collect tickets. And at the end of the game...
Well, that was for the Disney Bundle one, not Abbott Elementary.
Oh, that's right. I'm so confused. It's all blur. So what happened there?
The Abbott Elementary had the breakfast burritos and the swag... was a lovely bag.
Wait, they had breakfast burritos there?
Yes.
They only gave Twinkies.
Wait a minute, I think the Twinkies came with Abbott Elementary.
We're still talking about Abbott Elementary.
Yeah, the breakfast burritos are right outside.
No, that was the breakfast part, but that's not the actual activation.
Yes.
The activation itself was giving out Twinkies.
And then the school bag and the water bottle.
Yes.
And the lunch and the lunchbox.
That was the Disney Bundle again.
Oh god.
So basically what's happening is that both of these activations were outside the Hilton Bayfront. We're not drunk, I promise you guys. We are very tired, a little delirious. I was like, but both activations are next door to each other outside the Hilton Bayfront. And we came in and just for us, for a media preview, we had a breakfast that did have breakfast burritos, really fancy sparkling water, which always makes me happy. They had gluten-free pastries, all sorts of stuff.
Green tea matcha.
Yeah. Fancy coffee. And then you could either go into the Disney Bundle side or the Abbott Elementary side and do one of the activations.
Basically, it was a bundle. It was a bundle activation, kind of like your Hulu Disney thing. It was a bundled activation. That's why we're all so confused.
Yeah. So not only can you bundle your streaming services, but you can bundle your activations.
All I know is that all day long, I was carrying a breakfast burrito around in a lunchbox that was in an Abbott Elementary school bag. And the Twinkie.
So you felt like you were a student, but even though your credentials said staff. You're very confused, even then.
I don't even know where to go with this. Yes.
This podcast is off to a great start. I really hope all of you listening are laughing as hard as we are right now. And this is why we're live from San Diego Comic-Con. So like, as we said, Abbott Elementary, ton of fun. If you're listening to this late tonight, first thing in the morning, and you're going to Comic-Con tomorrow on the Sunday, you should definitely go check that out before it's gone. You had your choice of two water bottles, and the reusable water bottles, which is really nice. One's a screw top, one's a pop top, depending on your choice. The school bags that Kristen was talking about are actually nice duffel bags.
Yes, they fit the lunch pail very well.
Yes, totally. So then let's talk about the Disney Bundle thing. So you walked in and there was like a Rudy Ginsburg type machine? Is that what it's the name of it?
The Rube, is it Rube Ginsburg? Rube something.
Yeah, something like, it's way too tiring. So, you know, one of those machines where the ball drops and it causes something else to go and whatever. And they've got this huge thing where when I walked up, they were like, do you have Disney Plus? Yes. Do you have Hulu? Yes. Do you have the bundle? No. Why don't you have the bundle? Because I don't want ESPN. Well, I mean, it works out cheaper if you, and I said, really? Because my Hulu is free.
Yeah, they didn't quite know where to go with that when we told them, we got the Spotify Hulu package.
Yeah, that's what I have. I was like, I've got the Spotify package, Hulu's free. They were like, but at the end of it, so why they ask you these questions is because it causes the machine to go different places. And when the ball drops, it's supposed to give you a coupon code for an exclusive offer for the bundle, which is a great marketing ploy, honestly. It was very impressive.
It was a really fun way to get a deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And then from there, they gave you some tickets and they said, go play more games to get more tickets. And this is what Trina was talking about.
Yes. So we first started off with games like carnival games, like the ring toss, which we basically sucked at. And the slingshot thing where you knock down something.
The logs, yeah.
Yeah. So every game you play, depending on your score, you get tickets. We did the fun one that was like the
Plinko.
Yes, that was my favorite, the giant Plinko.
Yes, Kristen and I had a Plinko off, and I think I beat you by 1 point.
I beat you by one point.
I beat you by 1 point.
All I know is that I whooped both of your butts.
Where's the proof?
So basically, I think there was five different types of games. I was so excited and felt like I had done so well, by the way. Like, I had lost you guys at that point that I missed the last game. And the person came back and was like, there's still one more if you want more tickets. And I was like, oh.
The wheel one?
Yeah. Okay. But I ended up with over 30 tickets. And they had prizes for like two tickets all the way up to, I think, like 50 or something. And like you could spend whatever you had. And I ended up getting a Hulu power bank. Super practical, epic swag. If you want swag that people are going to remember and look up your show or your brand later, always think practical, please. So I needed a power bank because mine like randomly died and was not charging my phone. And I was like, yes, I will take that power bank. And then I got an Only Murders in the Building Arconia coffee mug because I am obsessed with Only Murders in the Building. Let this show go for 10 seasons. Please, Hulu, are you listening? What did you guys get?
Well, after our epic, or my epic spin of the, like the Price is Right reel, that was fun. I think I wound up with 28, 27 tickets. So I got something very practical, a Golden Girls sleep mask.
I was wondering if you were going to get that. I saw that. That was a good prize.
The other coffee mug, not the one you got.
Orville?
Orville. The Orville coffee mug. As I said, coffee. I mean, did that.
Because it's coffee talk.
Yeah. And what else?
I'm trying to remember what I got. I know I got a couple practical things, including some reusable straws. But I don't remember anything else.
You didn't get the phone wallet?
Oh, yeah, I got the phone wallet.
Again, practical things. And then everybody that goes through the activation gets a lunch pail, which is the 10 lunch box that we were talking about that has the Disney Plus bundle information on it, which I loved it. It was great.
Cool. And then we walked out, got a Twinkie and a water bottle, and we were done.
So, yeah, so the morning was off to a great start. And from there, we all kind of went our own separate ways. And I had an interesting day because besides doing the media thing, as we all do together, I am a nerdy content creator. And Box Lunch and Hot Topic, which are brands that I often work with, and D23 were all hosting events for creators. So I went to the D23 Disney Afternoon. That was the theme. Think like Chippendale Rescue Rangers, DuckTales party that was presented by Box Lunch. Super fun, amazing food. We're talking like Vegas style buffets, y'all. Like there was a taco, build your own taco bar. There was another bar with shrimp cocktail. There was another food thing. There was a dessert station. I was just like, where are we right now? And then the venue they picked out was super fun because they had a karaoke room and they had a bowling alley and they had arcades and you could do everything. It was all open. It was all free. And Box Lunch had their spin a wheel prizes that they do at some of their events. And I won a lounge fly bag. I got a Goofy Movie lounge fly bag, which was epic. And then, of course, because it's D23 and they always do something epic like this, they brought out relatively rare characters for meet and greets. So I got to see my boys, Scrooge McDuck and Launchpad McQuack, who I have not seen in years, and it was wonderful. And Scrooge told me that he loves me, and we're married now, and fight me.
Them's going to be some interesting looking children.
And they literally have nothing to say to any of that. Yeah.
I have no desire to fight you on that.
That's right, because Scrooge is my boy. So then after the box lunch party, I went over to the Hot Topic Creator Meetup, which was another place with a lot of games. There was a lot of games on Friday, and there was all sorts of arcade games like Skee Ball, one of my favorites. And they have those, like the basketball hoop one, you know, you just throw baskets, try to get as many as you can, which I absolutely suck at. But my friend Mariah is apparently a pro. She got like 20 shots in a row, and I was like, remind me not to play basketball against you. But they had a claw machine. Guess what I won?
What did you win?
I got an alligator Loki.
Of course you did.
Because of course I did. Because if you don't know, I am a Loki variant. So of course I naturally acquire other variants. So yeah, that was a bit about my day. What did you guys get into?
Well, speaking of games, we went to go talk to a couple actors who do voices for WB Games, Matthew Lillard and Tara Strong.
And they were lovely to chat with. I know I've heard his voice several times, but I can't remember.
Shaggy.
That's the thing.
But it wasn't just voice. He actually was the live action.
He was the live action Shaggy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we talked to him yesterday.
We played some games with him yesterday.
And he was pretty good. He did all right.
He beat Tara.
So
which,
if you
guys don't know, we have a very popular game called 60 Seconds With, available on our YouTube and TikTok. You should check it out.
And what else did we do? Oh, we had, we went for ice cream, but we wound up with fruit pops because it was cooler and more refreshing.
They had fruit pops?
Yeah.
Man, if I had known that, I would have come.
And that was courtesy of all people, Ludacris, who has a animated series coming out called Karma's World. It is kid-friendly, so don't worry about that. But yeah, we had a little ice cream trip. It's not ludicrous. That just looks kind of cute. It looks kind of cute. So we had a little ice cream truck, and you had your choice of ice cream, like cookie sandwich, and you had the chili mango. I had the strawberry.
Strawberry is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. It was delicious. And then after that, I went to a panel in Hall H to see Keanu Reeves talk about the comic book series that he is the mastermind behind called Berserker. And this was fascinating to me. Apparently, it's the first time in Hall H, in Comic-Con history, that Hall H has hosted a comic panel. So that was pretty special. And the room was pretty packed. And Keanu Reeves is just the kindest person you will ever meet, and he just emanated warmth and kindness while talking about punching people through their stomachs.
Oh, man. And Keanu actually had some big news yesterday, too. He ended up on another panel in Hall H where he leaked John Wick 4.
I heard about that, but the fun fact is those of us who are like in the know, actually an hour prior, got text messages to our phone to access that trailer an hour before it was shown at Comic-Con. And I got that text.
That is super fun. That is super fun. Yeah. Speaking of Hall H and big news and things, our first Hall H panel of this year, or at least for me, it might have been for all of us, was the Lord of the Rings Rings of Power panel.
Dun, 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 dun.
Now, Lord of the Rings, my first fandom that I can actually claim as my fandom is Sanrio when I was really, really little. But then by the time I got a little bit more mature, it was all things Tolkien. And I have been looking forward to the Rings of Power for 4 years now. If you want to hear me break into all my theories and stuff like that, go over to theonering.net. We talk about it weekly for the last 4 years. But I've been so excited to see footage and hear more from the horse's mouth about this show. And that panel, it started out by having my favorite composer, Bear McQuarrie, come out on stage with a full orchestra playing part of the score he composed for this series, and I immediately lost it. Tears fully forming, and I did not stop crying for 90 minutes.
That's pretty, I think the musical opening was incredible. It just took you to the place, the headspace, before you even brought out any caster or seen any footage. I think that was a highlight for me, was seeing the live orchestra.
And I don't know if a live orchestra has ever occupied Hall H before. I don't have the grand Hall H experience that most people have, but holy crap. I mean, and if those of you who aren't familiar with Bear McCreary, you know him, even though you don't know him,
because yes.
He has done amazing music for film and
like
TV.
Like Outlander,
like Black Sails, like, ugh.
Didn't Masters... he do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too?
Yes, he did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And if you could just Wikipedia that dude and you'd be amazed, like, wow, that music was really good. And now I know who made it. Plus, he's got conductor hair. You know, he's doing all the things and his hair's swan all over the place. That man's amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. So, and I feel like I should clarify, when I say that I cried for 90 minutes, it wasn't 90 minutes about that musical performance. It was just that everything they did in the panel from that point on just made me so happy. We got 5 exclusive clips from the series. They also had beautiful character artwork. They actually brought back, if you've ever been to Hall H, they sometimes bring the screen all the way around the room, which they usually do for the Warner Brothers theatrical panel, and oddly did not do this year. I was like, but they did it for Lord of the Rings. And so the side screens all had the character art. So every time a new actor came out on stage, which they brought about 40 people from the cast and crew out throughout the course of this panel, it was really incredible.
And I may not be the biggest, you know, Lord of the Rings fan, but the moderator of that panel sure was. Stephen Colbert himself. And I was shocked. I shouldn't have been shocked, but seeing him walk out on the stage just was like, he was a surprise moderator. Nobody knew it was going to be him. But I watch him all the time in his late night show, and he references J.R.R. Tolkien so much. So it just made so much sense. He is the only person who was worthy of moderating that panel.
And you know what the best moment with Colbert was in that entire panel was at the very end, and there was a fan question. It was the last fan question of the day, and this whoever it was got up and said to the EPs on stage, will you commit right now to giving Stephen Colbert a part in the show? And you should have seen Colbert's reaction. It was so fanboy perfect. And of course, on cue at the end of it, he just went, the check's in the mail, thank you, sir.
That was a really good panel.
And yes, the producers did commit to giving him a role.
Of course they would.
Yeah. And all of Hall H witnessed that. So if they don't do it, you can't see that I'm making a movement with my hand right now. But yes.
And if anyone has any questions, yes, they address the fact that the dwarves, the lady dwarves, have facial hair. So that's a thing.
Yes, yes. We actually did get to meet our first female dwarf as well, which is really rad. We also got a sneak peek in the trailer of what is being speculated online as either Annatar or Sauron or the Dark Lord, and everyone can't figure out which one it's supposed to be. But it looks like Anson Boone is playing this character. And Anson is an actor I've recently grown to love because he plays Johnny Rotten in Pistol on FX.
Oh.
And he is fantastic. And we've recently interviewed him for High Voltage. He actually played 60 Seconds with it. It's on our TikTok. Go watch it. So I'm even more excited about the series. I don't think it could have been any more possible for me to get more excited than I already was, but it was possible.
Hence the continuation of the tears.
Yes. So yeah, it was a great panel. That might have been my actual favorite panel of Comic-Con this year. And I saw the Marvel Studios panel, so that says something.
Fair point.
Mm-hmm. Another fun thing that me and Kristen got into, though, before we wrap up Friday, we went to the American-born Chinese preview party. Now, this was interesting. As far as I can tell, American-born Chinese, I've known about this show coming to Disney Plus for a long time, did not have a panel at San Diego Comic-Con. But they had a little preview party and invited a bunch of tastemakers and media to experience the culture, the sights, the sounds, and see a few clips like we would like we would do in Hall H or something.
It felt like a panel, but in an entirely different format that I prefer, actually.
Yeah. Well, also for you, it came with boba tea.
Yes. That was probably the highlight of my Comic-Con.
Totally. So this was a great little party, and I'm really looking forward to the series. It looks great. I was definitely laughing at the clips that they showed. And then we also, American Born Chinese is based off of a graphic novel, and they gave out copies, and the creator, an author of that graphic novel, was there. And he signed my copy. He actually drew a whole sketch in it, too, which was really rad.
We also got to see what our names looked like in Chinese script.
Oh, yes. Yes, that was very cool. That was very cool. So, yeah, it was a really eventful Friday that then we bookended by going to the FX activation at nighttime, which was basically like a scare maze. And all the lights, it was gorgeous in there at night. But I think the best part of that had to have been Nadia's San Diego, where we went into like the club and they do a 360 video of you. And that was pretty cool.
That was a dance party.
Mm-hmm. All right. Should we jump into Saturday?
Sure.
All right. Saturday. This was our big panel day, which is weird. Saturday is usually our big press room day. And we did have some press rooms today. We interviewed the cast of The Resort. We interviewed the cast of The Orville. You'll see all of that from us online shortly. But let's start it off with the WB theatrical panel. That was weird.
Why do you say that, Chelsea?
WB theatrical panel is usually when WB announces like a full slate of movies, and they made zero announcements. Zero. They just had a panel for Shazam and a panel for Black Adam and said, so long, farewell, Vita, say goodnight. Like, literally, that was it. I was like, we already know these movies are coming. They were coming during the pandemic and then got pushed back. And then Black Adam was supposed to already be out before Comic-Con and just recently got pushed back. And like, what's happening, Warner Brothers? Are you guys folding? Are you in trouble? What's happening? I'm concerned about you.
But on the upside, I'm never mad at getting to see Mr. Levi.
Yes, Zachary Levi, always a pleasure.
And Lucy Liu was such a treat.
Ah, yes.
No, no, no. Helen Mirren was such a treat.
Yeah, there's that. Dropping P-bombs on the world.
Yes, definitely. That's something you just... Every single time I've ever had any interaction with Helen Mirren in my life, there's some moment like that that you never see coming, that you just go... Oh, yeah, she's just a normal person like the rest of us, though. Like, you know. Yeah, really excited for Shazam and Black Adam, though.
Oh, yeah, they showed some great footage for Black Adam that shows how dark but intense that show's going to be. That show's going to have some chops. And hopefully, I think Kristen and I were talking about this. This is like, hopefully, this ushers in a new phase of DC, the phase that doesn't suck. That's what I'm hoping for.
I feel like every movie, like new character movie that comes out goes, oh, DC will never be the same again. And we all go, oh, finally, you figured it out. And then it never happens. But maybe they figured it out.
I mean, Shazam was fun. Shazam was
lovely. I love Shazam.
That was a great place to start. Don't know what the next Shazam's going to look like, but all we can do is pray.
Kristen, any thoughts on the DC universe?
Sure. It always makes me nervous. And I understand there's a lot of reasons why these movies were pushed, especially with the pandemic. But it always makes me nervous when movies get delayed, because that usually means there are more cooks in the kitchen having opinions and changes being made. And I feel like the problem with DC generally is that it's a movie by committee versus movie by an auteur. And I don't know that this Black Adam is going to solve that problem.
100%. All right, well, that takes us into House of the Dragon, which technically is Warner Brothers as well, but this is more on the HBO side. It's a new series. It is the prequel for Game of Thrones. It is all about the Targaryens, and this is a subject Trina should talk about.
Near and dear to my heart. So we get to, it's a great Hall H panel. This is my first time seeing the cast in the flesh. All of them, all the major characters were there.
Which, can we take a moment of appreciation for Gwendolyn Christie? Because, she came out in a different panel later, but she was at Comic-Con. I was thinking of you and looked fantastic today. And if you have not seen images of this, go Google it for everybody listening, because Jesus, that woman just always blows me away. Go ahead.
So we get to see the full cast of House of the Dragon, plus Mr. George R.R. Martin himself was on the panel discussing the production of his new baby. We got to see some, of course, never before seen footage, and talking about the creation of it and bringing it to life. And of course, this, we all know what happened with Game of Thrones seasons 6, 7, 8, how disturbed we are. Of course, George R.R. Martin reiterated the fact that he feels very safe, very confident, and very comfortable with where the creators and the writers and showrunners are taking this
version.
Now, he
said that, but then he also said that because of COVID, he did not get to visit the set like he did on Thrones, and that this was his first time meeting the cast in person, which actually makes me a little concerned that he has not been there for the process of things.
But he's actually seen the first three episodes. He saw them, yes, a while ago, and he said he loved them.
Yes.
He said he loved them.
But didn't he say that he loved the end of Game of Thrones, too?
I don't think I ever heard him say that. I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure season 6 and 7, he was still on course.
Well, yeah, but nothing. Yeah, he has never said a good word about 8.
Yeah.
Not a word.
So, at least we're starting strong with House of the Dragon, is what we're saying. Here are my questions for you, Trina. Who out of the cast were you most excited about, like, in terms of, like, pairing? Who do you think is going to nail it the most? What are you most excited about to see in the series, and what are you most concerned about?
Kristen and I had a conversation about this. If you're not familiar with the premise of the Dance of the Dragons, if you've seen Game of Thrones, you know that the Targaryens were nearly obliterated. This is the story of how they nearly obliterated themselves. But the crux of it is it's the two women who are the cause of the destruction. And I was talking to Kristen earlier, I was worried about how they're going to portray this, because it's really a linear thing. It's not like bitchy women against women. It's a literal, I am the legitimate heir, but you don't want me to be the legitimate heir because I don't have a penis.
Yeah.
That's the crux of it. There's no cat fighting, none of that. It's legitimate versus illegitimate. And I was really concerned. I want to know how they're going to handle that. Are they going to address it in that straightforward political way, or with great subtlety and nuance, and not make it seem like two women who are just hormonal and whatever. I'm concerned. But Rhaenyra and Rhaenys is the queen that never was. She's the mother of Rhaenyra, the queen that should be. It's hard. It's so hard. I'm so sorry. This is emotional for me.
It's okay. I'm excited to see Matt Smith in this world.
Which I still can't believe you didn't realize he was in it. Maybe it's the blonde hair threw you off.
I just really haven't. I have a thing about not wanting to watch trailers and pay attention to stuff and just see it as it comes in. And like, I've just gotten too disappointed after too many trailers that have given too much in the past. So I didn't really go out of my way to see it until we saw it in the panel.
And then you saw the shocking blonde hair.
I liked that even Matt was like,
yeah. If there was anything he could change, he wished the Targaryens could change. He wished they could dye their hair.
Yeah.
It's like, he hated, I support that wig. Support it. Oh. Platinum blonde is not a look for everyone.
It definitely is not. Well, then let's move into a subject that is near and dear to Kristen's heart, because we both sat on the Sandman panel today. And what did you think, Kristen?
I am so excited about this adaptation of Neil Gaiman's beloved comic series. I was so nervous going into this panel because it was hard for me to really think about how they were going to visually represent the comic books and turn it into this TV series. I am less anxious now after the panel. They showed us some amazing footage, some scenes that were just so visually saturated. I don't know how they were just, they packed a punch in a way that I think is going to be really exciting. The one thing I'm still concerned over is the amount of gore and the gratuity that is in the comic books and how that's going to be portrayed in a TV series, because I don't tend to like my TV series with blood and guts everywhere. And we did see a scene with a demon coming out of a person that got pretty graphic.
Yes.
So I'm very curious about that. And they showed us the scene where there's a man in a diner. And the scene that they showed seemed very tame, with a man talking about how all his dreams are going to be coming true and how you need to be truthful and this and this. But for those of us who've read the comics, we know that that scene is going to turn very ugly very fast. And so they just showed us the mild part going into it. So it definitely makes me more excited to see it. I can kind of get where they're going with some of the characters. They did some really fun gender swapping. One of my favorite characters, John Constantine, who makes a couple cameos in The Sandman, is now Josephine Constantine, played by Jenna Coleman, also from Doctor Who world. And they
still got our Doctor Who, and even if they didn't bring an official panel to Comic-Con.
I just hope that like her and Matt Smith were able to connect backstage somewhere.
Right. I'm sure that photo is going to turn up at some point.
That's all I want. But yeah, that really excited me.
I mean, honestly, the character that got me most excited, which they said Neil was talking about how, I'm going to use the word delicious. He didn't use it, though. The portrayal of Desire was. And I was like, is it, though? And then they showed us, I think it was the trailer when we first see Desire and Mason Alexander Park. Oh, my God. Wow. Real, like that, I already feel like that's going to be my favorite character.
Yeah, and that's a character that when is not present with great frequency in the comics, but when comes in, really does pack a punch. So I think that's going to come across. Also, this is where we did see Gwendolyn.
Yes. Gwendolyn Christie is playing Lucifer, which is awesome.
Yes, that is going to be, that was perfect casting. You can just see it rip from the page onto the screen with her face and her voice and just her presence.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, that series is coming out, what, August 5th?
Soon.
Yes, super soon. So everyone look forward to that. Add that to your Netflix watch list immediately. You look like you had a thought, Trina.
When you said Gwendolyn was playing Lucifer, it just immediately made me think of when Tilda Swinton played Gabriel.
In Constantine, yes.
I can see that, yeah. So we've got a few minutes to get through before we jump into the Marvel panel, because we're leading our way there. We're going to end on a big note. I did, right before the Marvel panel, I saw the Entertainment Weekly Bold School panel, which had Emily Hampshire from Schitt's Creek. It had Katya, I forget her last name, from the show Evil. Chantal Van Chatten, I think is her last name. She's been in frickin' everything, including One Tree Hill. And then Dulce Sloan, I think that's how you say her name, who became my new favorite human. She is an actor first, a comic second, and a correspondent on the Trevor Noah show third, in that order, and that is important to know. But she was just an absolute delight and just dropping truth bombs left, right, and center. So basically the concept of Bold School is empowering women to tell our stories of what we've had to overcome as women and why we've had to pull triple duty and compared to what most men have to do to get where we need to go. And this was such an empowering panel for all of the women in the room before Marvel happened. And especially like as these amazing women are on stage telling their stories, there's a whole bunch of men in the first few rows sighing and scoffing and rolling their eyes. And the panelists saw it and literally called them out on it. And it was like, this is literally the problem that we're talking about, you know? And I love to see more and more of this stuff happen. And I just want to give a huge shout out to Entertainment Weekly for having this conversation.
I love that so much. And speaking of these men in the front rows, I feel like we saw that on all the panels at Hall H today prior to Marvel, is that there was a lack of enthusiasm from the front of the room.
And apparently that's because the entire front row, like those first 150, 200 people, got in line for today's panels at 9 a.m. on Thursday. Some of them before 9 a.m., some of them shortly after that point on Thursday, but basically around 9 a.m. on Thursday. 48 hours in advance. I camped out 1 year for a Hall H panel. It was the Game of Thrones panel, and it was a 13-hour camp out. That's an insane amount of growth since then.
I can't.
More power to y'all, though. Like, I genuinely, when they told me that, I was in the room and I asked them. I had, like, I got excited for them that you made it and you got this great spot. And I really hope it's everything you wanted it to be.
But then I just felt bad for all the panelists. I mean, we had Jean-Luc Picard on the stage for the Star Trek panel. Yep. And all the clapping was coming from the far reaches of the room.
Yep. Well, even there was that one guy that got up to ask what Zachary Levi a question and had like a cheer squad in the back corner. And they're like, oh, he has fans. But it was just like the back corner. Like all of the excitement was from the back of the room.
Or maybe after 82 hours in line, they were just tired.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes before I want to jump into the Marvel panel. So, Trina, tell us what happened. You went to a very special press conference for a new series, Interview with a Vampire. They are making it into a series.
AMC, a pretty damn good press conference too. AMC Channel is taking Anne Rice's Interview with a Vampire and bringing it into the 2020, located in New Orleans. Pretty darn good informational session. We've got Jacob Anderson, some of you know him as Grey Worm, playing Lestat. We've got Sam Reed playing Luis, and we've got Bailey Bass playing Claudia. And Eric Bogonian playing the interviewer who's taking down all, this sounds like it's going to be there's a lot of vampire stuff going out there for years now. This seems like it's going to be a fantastic, broad, and very visually enticing version of Anne Rice's classic. I don't know how you feel about vampires and vampire stories. But the cast is so invested. The cast is, I don't even know what to say. The writers, the showrunners, one of the set designers was there. She was talking about how much work and how much passion she put into taking New Orleans and making it present, because they're filming in parts of New Orleans that have been undone by the hurricane. So there's the reconstruction and parts of New Orleans that no longer exist in timelines in Lestat's story. And if you like vampire stories in general, I think you're going to love this because...
And once again, a show happening in New Orleans that's filming
in New Orleans. And why wouldn't you? I mean, New Orleans is gorgeous. Yeah. Plus, I mean, that's such a very vampirical place anyway. And it's got the best cemeteries, so might as well. So, Interview with a Vampire coming to AMC. Look out for it. I think it's going to be good.
Awesome. And on that note, drum roll, please. It's time for Marvel Studios.
Do we know to do it? Bump, bum, 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 bum.
So, Marvel Studios does a big panel presentation where they announce tons of things. At least that's usually been the scheme of things for the last few Comic-Cons, obviously not the Comic-Cons at home, but I was there in 2019 as they announced everything from like the Loki series and Thor Love and Thunder on down. So let's start breaking down all of the announcements from today. Now, first of all, I just want to start this by saying, I don't feel like there was a lot of announcements. Like, we pretty much knew all of these things. We just kind of got more of a timeline order now and some names for the saga that we're in. And like a confirmation of one thing that we all pretty much knew was happening. But we'll still talk about it. I think Marvel's saving the really, really juicy stuff for D23 in September. But we'll see. So we're just going to go in order. So basically, we found out that we are currently in Phase 4, which we knew. And that it is ending after two more pieces of content. So we have She-Hulk coming out in August. And then in November, we have Black Panther Wakanda Forever coming out on November 11th. And that will end Phase 4. We're already at the end of Phase 4. Can you guys believe that?
Barely.
So Phase 1, 2, and 3. I was on the edge of my seat with every film that came out. I had to watch the next film. And I needed to see how it connected. And then we got Infinity War. And we were like, what was that? Then we got Endgame. And it blew my mind, and the pandemic hit, and I was like, I have to see the next piece of things from, like, where do you go from Endgame? Personally, I feel like they've let me down with every piece of content since Endgame. Granted, some big shoes to fill, but you've killed off almost every single character that I care about. And now you've introduced a whole bunch of characters that right now do not connect to each other and I have no emotional investment into. And I've been waiting for these phases to connect to each other. So now you've told me that phase four is ending in two more films. Well, a series in a film where we're introducing yet another character plus other characters in Black Panther because, unfortunately, rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman. So, to Feige's point, Phase 4 was about resetting the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's what he said Phase 4 was, and he's done that. We've reset it. We've introduced a whole new set of characters. But then they announced Phase 5. Here's Phase 5. We start with Ant-Man and Wasp, Quantumania. Who's reset there? Now we're just going back to like phase three. We haven't seen Ant-Man in a hot minute. Where has he been? Then we have Secret Invasion. Oh, more new characters. Then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Okay, well, you know, we just saw Quill and some of them in Thor Love and Thunder for a minute and like they're fan favorites. And okay, yeah, we're closing up that chapter. And then we have Echo. Oh, another new series, which we've met Echo, but now we're getting a whole series on, so I'm sure there's going to be tons of new characters in that one. And is that going to tie in? Are we going to see Kate Bishop in that one with Hawkeye again? Or maybe more of Daredevil and Kingpin? Like, what's happening? Then finally, the next step will be Loki Season 2. Oh, okay. Well, since we got Loki Season 1, that's when the multiverse seems to have gone off hinge, so we thought. And then we thought the rest of Phase 4 would connect to Loki from breaking the TVA, like, timeline policy. And nothing has come back to that. So, like, I'm like, oh, so now we're finally going to address it? It's 15 TV shows and 10 movies later. It's probably not that many. I just threw a number out there. Like, okay, then we have Ironheart. Oh, more new characters. And then Agatha, Coven of Chaos. Okay, fan favorite from WandaVision. We're connecting that back. Finally, a new character into something. But who from the rest, is Shang-Chi going to be in that? Where are the Eternals? Like, what is happening right now with the MCU? It feels like they're biting off more than they can chew. And then finally, we got a couple more theatrical releases. The Marvels, which they did not talk about at all, but we know is coming and it's on the slate. Blade, which was the big announcement of 2019. And it's the end of Phase 5 now? And we still had no other information about it other than they don't even begin shooting until October. That's a really, like, from announcing in 2019 till now, that's intense. And then we're also going to have Captain America New World Order, which is the next Captain America movie, however, starring Sam Wilson. So Anthony Mackie, no more Steve Rogers. So technically, new idea, but not a new character.
This feels appropriate for a new phase.
Yes. This feels like if we were starting here or something, like, I just feel like we have so many characters that didn't die after Endgame. And then we've barely done anything with them. Then we get Daredevil Born Again, which, yes, Charlie Cox officially getting his own series in the MCU. He's coming back. We saw him in No Way Home. Like, great announcement. At least it's not entirely a brand new character. And then we end Phase 5 with Thunderbolts, which they gave absolutely no information about. And Thunderbolts could literally... There's been so many adaptations in the comics and everyone's had their own team of Thunderbolts. I don't even know which way to take it, but I feel like it's going to tie to Zemo. And I at least hope so, because he's just been hanging out since Falcon and Winter Soldier came out and like nothing's touched on that since. But speaking of that, where's U.S. Agent? He was bonding with Julia Louis-Dreyfus last we saw. And then Julia Louis-Dreyfus appears at the end of Black Widow with Black Widow's sister. And then we just don't see anything with that ever again. And I see nowhere in these announcements where that's going to come into play. Are we waiting till phase 8 for this? Like,
I was going to say, how many phases are planned out here? Because maybe they're playing a really long game.
Yeah, like it's starting to become overwhelming to me. Whereas before I had to see every piece of content. Now I'm like, cool, I might tune out until Loki season 2. Like, what? I mean, I'm not going to, but like, it's starting to get there. You know, how do you feel about this, Trina?
Unfortunately, I tapped out of Marvel quite a while ago right when COVID hit, maybe a little before.
So after Endgame.
After Endgame, right. But a couple of these things, of course, make perfect sense to me. Of course, Daredevil, all for it. The Marvels makes sense because we have to continue with Captain Marvel.
Yes, but why so late in Phase 5?
And then Secret Invasion. Secret Invasion is a no-brainer.
Yes.
That's a no-brainer. You had to do that. People would have, like, not stormed the Capitol, but they would have stormed Disney if you hadn't made Secret Invasion. So we're fine there. The rest of it is Blade, and also Blade's okay because that's an oldie, bringing it back. But everything else, you would know more, but the disconnection, it just seems more disconnected to me. Maybe that's because I'm already disconnected, but if it feels disconnected to you, imagine
that's
how it
what
feels
I'm saying.
To me.
If the super fan feels disconnected, the people that were just getting into the MCU or were casual fans that enjoyed the movies are going to just start going, what the heck is going on?
And I can almost support Ironheart. I mean, I remember them talking about Ironheart years ago. We got to do something with the Iron Man legacy.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give that a chance.
I mean, I'll give everything a chance. I just need to see it start connecting is my point, because phase 1 to 3 was brilliant. If you missed a movie, you missed something integral.
Very important.
And I don't see that happening now. Like, I honestly don't see why Moon Knight even existed as a series throughout this announcement now, because I have no idea how Moon Knight would tie into all of this other than it just being really cool. It was really fun. I love seeing the Egyptian gods. That's great. I love that kind of like mythology. Before we dive in, because I want to talk about each of these titles more, we'll say that they also, after they announced Phase 5, announced Phase 6, because why not just keep going and give us more new things to look forward to, which they only told us the first film and then how the entire saga is going to end with a 2-part film like Infinity War and Endgame. So Phase 6 will start with our confirmation that Fantastic Four is coming. We're getting a Fantastic Four movie within the MCU. And then the end of this new saga, which has now been named, they gave us an official title, The Multiverse Saga, will end with Avengers, the Kang Dynasty, because Kang the Conqueror we meet in Loki Season 1, which this made me so happy. And then the final film of all of it, Avengers Secret Wars, which is what I was hoping we were building to with all of this nonsense. So there was at least a little bit of like, okay, maybe there's a plan. Have faith in Feige. And like, literally, I've had faith in him this whole time. I feel like he's not going to steer me wrong. He's still running the ship. Like, there's got to be some vision there. I'm just not seeing it yet. You know, like, if I'm going to be honest with everybody right now, I know Miss Marvel has already finished. I am like 2.5 episodes behind. And if you know me, I usually stay up at midnight and watch the episodes as they come out. But that's where I'm getting with Marvel, where I'm not feeling the need to watch it right away. And like, and I enjoyed Miss Marvel. Miss Marvel's a great show. Just the sense of urgency and desire and stuff. It's just, you got to do something soon with that, Marvel.
And here we are, Phase 5, 6, and still no X-Men.
Yeah. Also, in 2019, when we were in the panel for Marvel, the last thing Feige said is X-Men are coming. And everyone freaked, where the heck are the X-Men? Which there is a version of Thunderbolts, that's all X-Men. There's also Deadpool's Thunderbolts, which could go there, which everyone, we keep saying there's a Deadpool 3. Is that not going to be in the MCU? Like, Deadpool's now it's now actually, as of today, on Disney Plus. Which is why you got some chimichangas.
Which were delicious. Thank you, Deadpool.
Yes. She actually got served chimichangas by Deadpool.
It was Deadpool's truck.
It was Deadpool's truck. Okay, so the guy wasn't dressed like Deadpool inside. No. That would have been amazing, though.
Maybe he was in the back cooking him up.
We don't know.
Deadpool catering.
Yeah, totally. All right, so let's back up a bit. So the next thing we're getting is She-Hulk Attorney at Law. They showed us the trailer. Loved it. Wong is making an appearance in this. Oh, a character we know. He is actually our Sorcerer Supreme right now. Maybe finally this will tie into something, because it's starting to seem like Wong is the key to this new saga, because at the end of Shang-Chi, there's an end credit scene that features him grabbing Awkwafina and Simu and come with me. And then we never, I for sure thought that was going to connect to Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And it doesn't. Like, why? And I for sure thought that when Loki breaks the timeline, that was going to play into No Way Home. And then No Way Home didn't touch that at all. But at the end of No Way Home, the way the clouds and the sky breaks in the purple and the things that are happening looked like that would be the perfect tie-in, because Doctor Strange is even there for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Nope. Like, so I say that Wong might be the key, but maybe not. Maybe he's just the scapegoat. I don't know.
Maybe he's pulling together everyone for the Thunderbolts.
Maybe that's where we're going here. So then, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. This film, I think, has had everyone concerned ever since we lost Chadwick, because we don't know what's going to happen. And he was such the perfect T'Challa. We all got rest assured when Marvel said that they will not be recasting. And we found out, because they finally gave us a trailer today and the whole world can go see it, is that they will be addressing King T'Challa's death and what the effects of that are in Wakanda and all of that stuff in this movie. We do see a Black Panther at the end of the trailer, but just from behind in a claw. It looks very feminine. We have no idea who's getting the seat. No idea. Trina, or what about you? Any thoughts on Black Panther?
My thought is probably everybody else's thought. It would be logical for Shuri to take over the helm. I mean, it's familial. She's got the respect. She's got the intelligence. The Black Panther always is the like most intelligent thing in Wakanda. She's got the lineage. It makes sense. But because it makes sense, it probably won't happen.
I will say that their panel at Hall H was incredible, though. We basically had performers walking through the aisles, performing some of the score from Black Panther, which is all very like African tribal inspired. And Baba himself was there, who performed on the original Black Panther soundtrack and was singing, and it was very touching, very moving. And all of that stuff was great. That was a really big like show that we got from the panel, which was fun. Then we get into Ant-Man and Wasp Quantumania. We haven't seen Ant-Man and Wasp in a hot minute. What have they been up to? And I think we literally asked Paul Rudd that exact question, and he looked at Kevin Feige and said, I don't know how to answer that. I don't know what I'm allowed to say. Which then became the trend for every single thing after that. And everyone just looked at Feige like, I'm going to get in trouble. Several of them said, I will get in trouble. Like, you know, why bring them out on stage then? You know?
You should have had them singing some African songs or something.
Oh, that would have been hilarious. But yeah, so we did get to see a clip from the new Quantumania, which no one else will get to see for quite some time. And that was really exciting. I want to talk about it. I think they said that we can talk about it, we just can't record it. But I will say that Scott is very proud of the fact that he has saved the world. And he may have written a book about it. So that one seems to keep with the spirit of the Ant-Man movies that we know and love. And Kang the Conqueror will be in Ant-Man and Wasp. And so is Bill Murray. And we got our first clip of Bill Murray as Quilar in this movie. With the clip that they showed us, which made me scream in delight. I'm so excited for Bill Murray to randomly be in this movie. Because it feels random to me. It's probably not random, but, you know, feels that way. So then we got into Secret Invasion, which Kobe Smulders came out, only member from the show, no creative team or any of that stuff. And Jess said, yeah, get excited, basically. But then they showed us a clip and we got to see Sam Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn and Emilia Clarke and Olivia Colman, this amazing cast that's going to be part of it, and really excited for Secret Invasion. It's going to be really good. And which brought us into Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And James Gunn came out and said, you know, it's actually been 10 years since he started the conversation about Guardians with Feige. And that this film wraps up the entire journey from what he originally pitched. Which, of course, made everybody in the room like, oh, whatever. And then we got to see some footage. You guys, I don't think you're ready for this. And I say this as a person that has cared less about Guardians for the last few movies. I'm like, oh, here they are again. Baby Rocket. Just you wait for baby and teen child Rocket, because we're getting some of Rocket's story here. But that baby raccoon that it looks like they, and we might actually see how he becomes this talking thing, and like, so maybe he starts as the raccoon. Oh my God, cuter than baby Groot. It just, give me baby animals all day, every day. And I'm I was already like, I need that on a lounge fly bag. I need a plushie. I need.
Lord. First it was the child. Now it's baby Rocket.
Yeah. And baby Groot. You don't forget about baby Groot and the dancing Groot in the pot that everybody had to have. Yep. So then towards the end of that panel, we had a superhero grace us in the hall, and High Evolutionary came walking around, literally walked up and down every row of Hall H, and then came on stage saying he can't wait to dissect all of us and study us more.
And this is a superhero.
I'm going to guess it's a more of the villain side of things, especially with the wanting to sort of cannibalize us and whatnot.
It speech. Does sound more supervillain.
Yes, yes. So, but the costume was incredible to see in person, and that was a fun little performance. So then that was pretty much all we saw for all of the rest of everything. That was everything they brought out. We got nothing from Echo. We got nothing from Loki season 2. The only thing Loki related was that Miss Minutes introduced the panel by saying that we had all survived a colossal time variance shift that like screwed up the world and brought us all here to Hall H. Like, and that's where we're at. That's it. That's Marvel, y'all.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess so. I mean, out of all of those announcements, what are you guys most excited for?
Daredevil. Because that show was, of all of the, Defenders, of all the Defender shows, yes, that landed on Netflix, that set a tone and set a bar that none of them could ever reach. 3 of the 4 were good. One sucked, and we all know which one that was.
In your opinion.
Iron Fist.
I loved Iron Fist, and I will fight anyone, crap, anytime, any day.
And the other two were great, Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, but nothing will ever surpass the bar that Daredevil set.
I really liked the Defender series itself. And honestly, I think Jessica Jones deserves to come into the MCU as well, especially if we can bring Tennant back for his role.
Is he still around? I thought we defeated him.
But that technically wasn't MCU, but it, like, we've addressed that it's canon, but maybe not same multiverse. Like, we don't really know.
It's kind of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.-ish.
You know what there. I was most shocked by with all the announcements? Where's Spider-Man?
Haven't we had more than enough of him?
I am just getting started with this journey of Spider-Man, because No Way Home just made me need everything. I need like 14 more Spider-Man movies now.
Spider-Man needs a break. I mean, we've got 3 of him.
You can't give me Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, and Tom Holland in a film together and as like just a little cocktail tease and then be like, and we're done. Like, no.
But where are they going to go from there?
That's what I need to know.
They need a couple of more phases to figure that out.
Okay, so you're saying that we're not going to see Smitey till like phase 10 is what
when Tom Holland is now in
a grandfather.
When he's like Robert Downey's current age. Oh, dear. See, again, my biggest fear in life is that I'm going to end up dying before Marvel resolves itself into wherever it's going, and I'm going to miss some critical movie.
And their biggest fear is that they will be dying before you die.
There's that too. Oh my goodness. What about you
hoping that we all die off so they just don't have to finish this? We're done.
No, then we just start with some new time variant, whatever, back at square one, the whole new cast.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, as Feige himself said, resetting the MCU, so there's that. Kristen, what about you? What are you most excited for?
I don't know what sparked most from all of that. I am kind of excited about She-Hulk, which I think is coming out relatively soon.
Yeah, August 17th.
So I'm going to focus on that because that will come sooner and not think about all these other things until they come at me. But I am excited to see that. I think the concept is really interesting. And again, I'm more intrigued maybe than excited or nervous maybe because I just can't quite picture it working, but I want it to work. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. That's pretty much the answer to all of this. I'm looking at everything over and over and trying to figure out what I'm most excited for. And I honestly don't know. I have no idea what I'm most excited for. I do miss Scott Lang's energy. I'm kind of excited for Ant-Man. But like the Ant-Man movies like are very hit and miss. Not as a whole movie, but I mean like every other scene is hit and miss. Like, you know.
But to me, Ant-Man movies are like I could take or leave them. It's like they're not, to me, they've never been integral to that story that they've been telling. They're fine. They're serviceable, but I can do without them.
Yeah. I mean, the things that I've loved most about the MCU so far have been like Steve Rogers, Captain America, Peggy Carter, Agent Carter was amazing. Having her in the movies with Steve has been amazing. Captain Carter and What If. I was kind of hoping maybe we were going to get a Captain Carter live action announcement. But since we have multiverse, like, why aren't we going into more of the multiverse and keeping them around?
That would have excited me.
Yeah. Like, that would have been great. And then Thor. I love Thor and Loki. And, like, we got Love and Thunder. It ends in a way that easily seems like it could lead itself to another film with Love and Thunder both being in it. And no announcement about that. And I'm just... And where's Bucky? What's Bucky doing? Did he just, he's retired now? Goodbye? Like, I just, where are my characters?
To be continued.
And is Agatha, not Agatha, is Wanda dead from Strange now? Like, is that, like, I thought there'd be some sort of announcement that at least leads us to whatever happened there. And, like, well, so many questions, so little time. Mm-hmm. And on that note, we should probably wrap up this podcast. We've got one final day left of San Diego Comic-Con. Tomorrow is Sunday. Sunday's always kind of like the chill day. Maybe you camp out in Hall H and watch the last couple big panels. Maybe you just sweep the floor and get some good deals. I think we've got a couple more interviews tomorrow. Trina's trying for a signing with George R.R. Martin.
May the gods be with me.
From the Red Keep on down, yes. And that's it. Kristen, any final thoughts about San Diego Comic-Con this year?
Final thoughts. Well, it's been an interesting year, but I'm glad to be here, I guess, is the summation of my thoughts.
Same. Congratulations to Comic-Con for bringing it back.
Woo-woo!
And with relative safety and relatively smooth operations. It felt like Comic-Con, just on a slightly smaller scale, which is good. Because we need to get our grooves back. So, welcome back, Comic-Con.
I think that's a great place to end it. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to check out High Voltage and all the usual places. High Voltage Mag on Twitter and TikTok. High Voltage Magazine on Instagram. Whichever platform you prefer to be on, we're on it. Otherwise, subscribe to this podcast and we'll be back when the next nerdy thing happens. Bye.